So I began this trance work with divination using the tarot to arrive at the best questions it would best serve me to ask in the spirit world on behalf of the Witch Institute. And it was interesting because a part of me felt the need to expand my line of questioning beyond the Witch Institute to perhaps, the concept of witchcraft itself, to see if there was additional information that could be gleaned there. But divination was particularly particularly focused on, let's focus on this, on the organization itself, and which actually I found heartening, because that for me was saying that even as it stands, in a world where companies and organizations and projects and podcasts and websites and collaborations just sort of are constantly, rising and falling without much of a either a guide towards sustainability or even an aim towards sustainability, that was telling me that, whatever the Witch Institute is already packing is already moving in that direction toward carrying a sustainability. The cards that I pulled in the tarot that began some of my focus, the first card sort of was that, where is the Witch Institute now, energetically? And the cards were the Hanged Man and the Three of Wands. And the story that came out of that to me was that where the Witch Institute is it's looking at, it's where a lot of us are when it comes to the concept of witchcraft. It's saying, it's looking at the energy of sacrifice. What was lost? What was lost? How do we jump into our collective gaping wound and figure out what was sacrificed? Why it was sacrificed? Was the sacrifice worthy? What sacrifices do we need to make to bring back alive perhaps that which needs to be brought back alive? We live in a dog eat dog world. We live in even without capitalism, everything loves blood and everything is hungry in our universe. To me, that Hanged Man card is that the Witch Institute is, began from a place of, we know there is power here in this conversation, so let's dive in, Three of Wands, let's dive in and see from the links that we can gather. Let's see what we can pull together. Let's see what more information and more collaborations we can get simply from joining the conversation. From there, I began to do divination to suss out the best questions and the spirits that would best serve me to bring these questions to. And after I felt satisfied with the questions that I would be asking, one of the reasons I felt satisfied was because I asked, based on the exploration of these questions, where can the Witch Institute find itself? And the cards I pulled were the Ace of Swords and the World, which to me was the Witch Institute can find itself not only with sharpened clarity, but able to pull a brand new conversation out of the fire. A brand new conversation out of the fire, and one that truly serves life. One that can, a brand new conversation that has the potential to knight other conversations, to ignite other conversations, and just like a sword, you know, being laid over the shoulders of a kneeling person in a medieval context, being able to literally knight and push forward other burgeoning conversations at these intersections of witchcraft and ecology and feminism and civilization itself. And upon seeing that as the outcome of the exploration of the questions that are that follow, I felt satisfied. The first question that divination suggested be asked is, what vision serves the Witch Institute? And the spirit that divination suggested this question be asked of is the Norse goddess Freya. So I call in the Norse goddess Freya, and I'm asking her to be present. And I'm thanking her for her presence. I'm asking her, what vision serves the Witch Institute? And things begin to move very, very quickly in such a way that I'm going to let them play out for a second before I ask her to pause and rewind. But one thing I can say is there's already a global timbre to what she shares. Almost like I'm watching a commercial where a credit card company is telling me, you know, how easy it will be to make transactions all around the world. You know, it's like I'm rising above the earth and being shown, you know, these connections. These connections as the dawn rises, because we have headquarters in Bangkok and in Jerusalem. So when you wake up and you need to make that transaction, we're already there with our FedEx, you know, second day service to pick up your call at 4 a.m. when you need to have that kind of a we are around the world in seconds element there. We're not exactly sure where does that get placed, but again, we're talking about the energy of vision here. And I know that one thing that it might serve to at least speak to is that when it comes to the energy of vision, it's always that first we receive the vision, and then we become the people who can live the vision. So we never receive the vision and say, oh, that sounds fine, that sounds easy, I'll do that tomorrow. We receive the vision, and we say, oh, hell no. We receive the vision, and we say, that's impossible, that doesn't make any sense. And then we start to move toward it. And we eventually find ourselves becoming the person or the institution/organization who is now living the vision. So even though, you know, we're so far we just have this around the world in seconds kind of transactional global energy that the Norse goddess Freya is saying it serves the Witch Institute to move towards. And we don't exactly know what that means yet or how it looks. We can at least hold that and say we can at least trust that this is a possibility. So I'm asking the Norse goddess Freya yet again, what is the vision that best serves the Witch Institute? And the world, I literally feel the globe, Earth itself, revolving. And she plays out what she played before, which was that transaction, not transactional, but that broad international connection energy. So that's a we can put a checkbox next to my conveyance of that. But there's another piece that was also at play, and she's showing it again, and it's almost like I am in a remote village, and I watch a child grow into an adult, and then I'm watching that adult watch over children. So I'm taking a moment, and I'm just being with that sense of with that scenery, and I'm also working to arrest biases and questions that want to fly in. And as I'm just with the scene, and arresting the stories that want to fly in, that want me to attach them to this, I actually get a very specific sense of a focus on maternity and a focus on maternity and maternal lines and what matriarchy, if not its broadest sense, some aspect of matriarchy and what matriarchy means to the broader collective. In a society, within a society. So, not just what matriarchy means to all of us, but within a specific cultural dynamic, what does the group of matriarchs, how the mothers function, what they do, what their collective dance within a society's ecology, social ecology, and spiritual ecology offers that society as a whole. And as I say that, I hear an echo of the word valuable, the value it brings. What it's not just, oh, it's, and this isn't the word value here isn't, oh, it's valuable. It is a question of describing that value. It is a question of teasing out that value, because if that value isn't teased out, if it is left abstract, it can be eaten by the wolves of patriarchy and capitalism. It can be diminished. That value of what that social ecology dance looks like must be brought out bare and teased out and allowed to truly be known. I'm reminded of two things now, which just to try and in case they can help illuminate this further, I'm reminded of the, you know, conversation that, you know, some of us are having now about, you know, women's hidden emotional labor that might be a, that might be, you know, a hermeneutic here. Hidden emotional labor, you know, and hidden labors, and the reason why things need to be brought to the surface. This piece here about energetic lineage and the value of the mother dance connection, all of which are, I even as I say that, I do feel like I am not beating around the bush, but like I'm circling a word that perhaps we might not even have, but I'm going to talk to Freya more about that in a second. But that's one piece. The other is, I remember a trance session for a client many years ago, and I remember this was a client whose ancestors in a small village in the UK many centuries ago stepped forward, and the women in this village were telling me about their menstrual cycles and how their menstrual cycles of all the women in the village literally formed this energetic fabric that was really the foundation, the foundation of the village and the village's social connections, and even, I would say, you know, perspective of time. But it was something that it seemed like only the women knew. And even the word knew feels like not the most accurate word, because the knowing was more of an embodied and shared epistemology. The knowing was a living. It was a living thing. It was a lived social experience regarding the how these the menstrual cycles of these women formed the bonds and the fabric of the culture itself. So there are two perhaps helpful perspectives or parallels here. So I am with the felt sense of a, I'm with the felt sense in my body of a blank spot as I describe a sort of maternal locus, a maternal focused locus. And I go to Freya with this, and I ask Freya, given my conveyance of this vision, what am I missing? And I'm aware of a wolf whose teeth are sharp and his tongue is wagging. And he's very hungry. And I ask Freya, what's this? And the sense I get here is, you know, I am a cisgendered male. And I, even though I am one who works fervently to heal my ancestral lines and live feminist inspired and as and animist inspired, there is a particular energy of patriarchy, and I don't even think this is just patriarchy. I think this is some element of werewolf, perhaps even mind virus, coming down my paternal ancestral line that is keeping me from. It's almost like I'm being shown like a sewer cap on the center here, like keeping me from getting this like word I'm looking for. And I'm asking, Freya, is this a vision? Is the center here, is this something that I would have the capacity to see? Were this energy not present in my life slash ancestral lines, this sort of patriarchal, hungry werewolf? And she says, yes. And I'm kind of doubting that. I'm of two minds. I'm both believing that. I'm thinking, okay, I'm sure there are femme-centered persons who would be able to get this information better than myself. And I'm also so excited about femme-centered persons going in this direction and picking up wherever this conversation ends. And finding out what I don't know and can't know. But I'm also just being in the presence of Freya, and as I take a moment to even entertain the belief that I can get this information, that I can resolve this issue and see what I cannot currently see, I am suddenly aware of a black woman in a hat. And I actually paused the recording because I know who this is. And I decide to use one of my most powerful shamanic tools, Google, to track down the name of this person whose face is very familiar to me. And I'm asking, is this showing up because I am, because I'm human infallible, or is this showing up because this person is actually showing up to speak and engage at this point in the trance session? And I look to Freya, and she pushes this person towards me. And after having engaged my shamanic tool Google, I would say that this is very much out of nowhere for me. There's really, I can't track anything this week. I was reading her work recently or anything. This is that Audre Lorde makes an appearance here, and there's a bright presence. There's her presence is bright and warm and earthy. And as her presence is bright and warm and earthy, as it comes into focus in that way, even more so, this element on my own paternal ancestral line comes into focus even more so in contrast. And I am thanking Audre Lorde for being here, and I am asking, was good. And she is actually dissecting this werewolf. She actually is ripping it open, and I say dissection because I feel like I'm in high school. The way in which she has placed pins down around it, like around its skin, and pinned it down to a sort of like tray. And I asked her what's up, and she said, "I really want you to look at this, and I'm making you look at this." And she's making me aware of the ways in which the bounds of my own queer maleness have provided safe haven, the defense of my masculine in my life have provided safe haven for this energy. And I ask her, thanking her for stepping forward, I ask her, what does she think I need to do about that? And she shows me expressing vulnerability physically outdoors more. It's like I'm looking at myself and I'm seeing, it's like I'm dancing in the street and I'm smelling a flower outside. And I'm asking her, is there anything else here? And she says, no, just do that and also show the other men. Show the other men you dancing outside and smelling the flowers outside. And that will unleash liberatory energy. They will see that they are free to dance outside and smell the flowers outside. And in doing so, this enables upper world energy of divinity to come down to the earth. Even more quickly, that connection to the great above for us all will happen more quickly. The great above to me being connected to our experience, personally and collectively, with and of divinity, being divine, being connected to the divine, blessing, fulfillment. Completion, achievement of potential. So I thank her so much for being present here and showing up, and I thank her, truly, truly, truly. And I ask her, is there anything else that she wants to share? And she says, tell them, the Witch Institute, to look at the Ark. And I say the Ark, and she shows me the horizon. And being with her saying this, and it seems like she's speaking to a mystery that's a little beyond me at this point, at this moment. So I'm just taking a moment to be with this. and my truth cord, which is a sort of inner pendulum that I check in with a lot, says that she is speaking to three different things. One, she is speaking to the arc of life. Again, there was that sense of a child growing into a woman, and then that woman's relationship to that child, and there's that arc of life. Then there's something cosmic here. I believe this has to do with pre-Earth histories and, dare I say, cosmologies. And I do feel that, and I don't think I'm entirely biased when I say that Earth's relationship to / the influences of beings from the constellation Orion on the Earth are related to this. And three, arc / horizon, potentiality, not stopping, this sense of we're moving forward, that everything that the Witch Institute plans, it should not stop. There is a continuity that should be as far as Audre Lorde is concerned, written into the manifesto, that we're going to continue no matter what. That if everything implodes or explodes and we're down to one person, that one person is now writing a paper, writing a poem, and that poem gets passed on to one other person who shares it with their dog, who takes that poem in their jaws and takes it to a farm and places it under a chicken, where a child finds the poem and shares it with their mother, who shares it with her sister, who shares it with her sisters. And then we're not going to lose the conversation. We don't, that the Witch Institute should not expect to stop. And I am asking Audre Lorde, is there anything else? And she goes, no, and she leaves. And the goddess Hecate steps into the scene. And she begins to rearrange various stellar points, which feel to me like the contours, the current contours of vision that the Witch Institute is holding. And she is moving these points around, and it feels potent that she is the one to do so, herself being liminality, being the place between stars. She laughs uproariously as she moves these points around, and she moves them around in such a way that they arrive, at least for a moment, at that sense of, in a way that conveys that sense of the horizon. It's almost like she says, I dare you to make this organization, to make this thing that you have created, I dare you to try to make it small. I dare you to try to avoid or or disbelieve or lie your way out of this grander potential that I myself have orchestrated. And she laughs again. And I thank Hecate for her help and her wisdom. And I'm asking Hecate, where does it serve me to bring my attention at this point? And she brings my attention back to the dissected wolf on the sort of the dissection table. And I ask what she suggests that I do with this at this point in the trance. And she says, send it up into the sky. And that doesn't feel true. That feels slightly hijacked by the energy itself. I let her know that, and I ask again, what does it serve me to do with this? And yeah, she says send it up into not into the sky, she says send it up into the moon. And I call in the moon. I ask moon, are you able to remove this? As the moon begins to eat this mind virus, this sort of patriarchal werewolf mind virus energy on my paternal line, I see I hear moons and hear of sort of abused persons and the abused feminine on my paternal ancestral line. And I see a stark bare tree in a barren landscape that begins to produce fruits. And at first, my sense is, oh, that looks like progress. And then my sense is, this seems somewhat perverse. So I'm taking a moment to simply be with what's going on here. I get a strong sense to simply wait. A strong sense that waiting is really valuable right now, even though I'm doing this sort of trance performance for the Witch Institute. There was a strong sense of don't be a man about this. You're working with the moon, who is about tides and time, and you're going to wait. So I actually I paused the recording until I felt that it was time to come back. And the energetic shifts were fascinating. I felt eventually the sun come in and begin to play a role in cleansing in my own psyche. And where that barren tree stood in a barren field, there is now grass or wheat there. And I turn to Hecate and ask where it's going to bring my attention now. And the on that tree is a that tree begins to bear fruit, and that fruit is myself. It feels to be some part of myself that is now, that can now bear wisdom that I could not before, given the presence of that energy in my life and paternal ancestral line. I ask Hecate, is there anything else for me to serve me to do here? And she begins to draw some energetic connections between myself and ancient aspects of my paternal ancestral line from before that mind virus was present there. Hecate brings my attention back to the horizon and begins to bring that energy of the horizon into the construct of the Witch Institute, into the bearers and organizers, creators, speakers, collaborators. And as she does so, various entities leave. Various entities that also seem especially connected to the energy of patriarchy and of limitation. And a chorus of voices, like grass that grows at a enormous rate, shooting up out of the ground, begins. And these are as Hecate, who are these? Whose voices are these? These voices that are singing. And these are the voices of those persecuted for practicing witchcraft, those persecuted and martyred for practicing witchcraft, who have become the mighty dead, those that energy of that category of the mighty dead, that is those who were persecuted for practicing witchcraft, and who have now become mighty dead. They are healthy, resolved ancestors of the energy of witchcraft in our world. And they sing blessings. It's almost like threads of blessing and renewal and inspiration across the across and within and throughout the construct of the Witch Institute and its organizers, and even those who will come to partake in its offerings. And their singing grows and grows and grows in its loudness and power. Until it becomes a cleansing force, and an exorcising force that strips clean all vestiges of patriarchal domination, until it strips clean all vestiges of doubt. And I mean doubt in the most grand sense of the word, simply until it strips clean the energy of doubt in a organization that is researching re-enchantment and the enchantment that exists already in our psyches as connected to the world. And this cleansing stretches out past the earth itself into the cosmos and it tells cosmic helping spirits sky helpers, non-terrestrial helping spirits, that a great cleaning has been done, that a great cleansing has happened. And that preparations have been made for their support. And I return to Hecate. And ask if there anything else. And she closes the door on this question.